Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Biz Radio, on Channel Radio and Kent Business Radio. .co.uk on this Tuesday, the 26th of September, with me, Paul Andrews.
And me, Bird.
Absolutely. Do you know what? It's an absolute pleasure. We're going to talk to the next two guests on the show. It's really, really fabulous to see, once again this month, the lovely Nettie Bunn from Rift Accounting back with us.
Hello.
And she's brought along with her Jenny from EcoSan. Hello, Jenny.
Jenny's surprised to be here.
Jenny was shocked and surprised to be here.
I had a very good conversation with Jenny when I was leaving another customer about 2 hours ago when we spoke for the first time. Mm. So, but before we talk to Jenny, I just want to look at something. Have you heard? Right, okay, so we all know that we have generation tags, don't we? Mm. So if you're born before 1945, you're a traditionalist, yeah? 46.
You're a what?
A traditionalist.
All right, okay.
46 to 64 were baby boomers. I'm not one. I'm not old enough.
Did you see what she did there?
But you might be. Then you've got Generation X.
Yep.
Yeah. Then you've got the Millennials.
Yeah.
Now
and Generation Z now
is about to be renamed.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what they're going to be?
No.
Linksters.
What?
It's ridiculous.
Linksters.
And
I want to get underneath this. Is this because, going back to what we were saying about technology changing, these are people that link differently, they talk differently, they work differently. So we've gone from this really traditional to linksters.
Well, funnily enough, we did an event at Longfield Academy last week where we were talking to 30 A-level students, and I was talking about what I was calling Generation Z.
Yeah.
And talking
you
to
still can call them that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Talking to both the students and the businesses there, that's exactly the point I was making, that this generation are now going to do things radically different.
Yeah.
You know, we have the gig economy.
Yeah.
The old 9-to-5 work routine of work slavery is just dead in the water. People just aren't going to work like that.
Happen, no.
You know, even older people like me and not so older people like you.
No, you're a baby boomer.
I am a baby boomer.
Are you really?
I'm only just a baby boomer as well.
I thought they were 74. You're not 74.
They were born between 46 and 64. I love you.
I'm going to come over there and punch you in a minute. Miss on a bike. You know how old I am. I'll behave.
Move on.
Yeah.
Move on. Pretend she's not and, here.
Yeah, but just pretend she's not here.
Yeah.
If you think about our work patterns ourselves, you can't work 9-to-5 anymore. Mm. You've got a phone in your hand that goes off when it goes off. People, I'm sure that it happens to you. Yeah. I get emails at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. All throughout the day, all throughout the night.
Exactly, exactly. So that way of working, that link way of working, is the future. And we've got to start adapting to that. Our politicians are so far behind with this. It's unbelievable. Our politicians are still living in 1952. Yeah, and they
so
can't work it out.
That makes them baby boomers.
Yeah.
But it is this...
Nothing wrong with a baby
there
boomer.
There isn't.
74.
I'm not 74.
We've got more 74-year-olds on the planet we've ever had.
I know. I know.
Yeah.
But it is this thing...
I'm going to live forever.
So the song says. But Generation Z, I think, is a horrible word, and I like linksters. I think linksters is quite nice. These are the linksters, the youngsters that are linking the linksters. I like that.
It's nice. The whole thing about being connected and collaboration. Yeah.
Absolutely. And we've talked about this a lot, haven't we?
You and I have got a soapbox all our own.
On collaboration. And we've got a Jan Post of Rift wrote a really good blog on collaboration. Yeah. So it is all about that, and I do agree with you that linksters is a good way of putting it.
Yeah, so I've brought a linkster with me.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Look at that link. Did you like that?
That was so good. Nettie, wow. How did you think of that? That was really slick. You did that without anyone noticing.
I know. Mm. And I researched that myself.
Did you?
You can't make it up.
Anyway, sorry about that, Jen.
But Jenny has started at EcoSan as... An apprentice.
Did you?
And she is. Well, Sonia's really proud of what she's achieved. So it's really a shame, and we hope Sonia's daughter gets well soon, that she's not with us today.
Yeah.
But actually, send Jenny, and for Jenny to tell her story of working at EcoSan and starting as apprentice, I think is really interesting.
Absolutely.
When you read that out earlier, apprenticeship funding, It's more complicated than most tax sort of systems. It's ridiculous. And all we should be doing is being encouraged to employ young people and give them a good start in life and a training. I don't get it.
I don't want to go on another rant because it's giving me a headache. But I just do not understand where our politicians come from anymore. I don't know what planet they're growing up on because they're certainly not involved in the real world. They come out with these schemes and scams, and all we want is to employ young people. We don't want a load of rigmarole. We don't want an apprenticeship fund. We don't want 10% of this is 9% of that. Who needs it all? Get out of the way. Go away.
Go away. Let us employ people. Yeah. Help us encourage small businesses to train them, fund some of the training, just like you would if they were at school. Nothing should change. So,
I've had enough of you. I want to hear from Jenny.
Back at you.
So yeah. Basically, I started at EcoSan as an apprentice, and obviously Sonia took me on. She nurtured me, so I got a complete behind-the-scenes kind of view of the business.
Mm. How long have you been there, Jenny?
About 3 years now.
Right,
so
okay.
I started off as an apprentice, and I was involved in stuff like answering the phone, and then over time it developed into managing social media accounts, sorting out ISOs.
Just before you list all those things, because it's interesting, and again, it's coming back to... What Nettie and I were kind of coming from on this. When you started as an apprentice, what apprenticeship were you doing?
So I started an apprenticeship in business administration.
Right, business admin. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. And then obviously that included going to college once a month as well to do the course and all their training.
Did you get paid?
Yes, I got paid, and I got quite a good wage for an apprentice. Mm. And to be honest, it's wages and experience. I'd much rather have experience than wages.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a good foot in the door because I've grown in confidence. It was gone from not being able to answer the phone and being shy about answering the phone. And now I'm out on the road meeting new clients, meeting our accounts. So it's complete change in everything, really. Mm. And Sonia and Carl, they've done so, so much for me, even from taking me to networking events, taking me to business exhibitions.
Making you come on the radio.
Short notice, yeah.
But it's getting involved in a bit of everything, and that's awesome.
See, I'm loving this. I'm loving this because
I'm huge like this.
Yeah, because I am really loving this because this is nailing it in the real world. Yeah, it's skin in the game. It's experience, and that's really where we have to be with these things. You know, so many people talk about things in theory. Theory, shmeary, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
It's about skin in the game. Yeah. And one of the things I love about what you've described in your very brief 3-year journey is you started off as a business admin apprentice, but you've already experienced work with ISO, working
with
so many things.
Girls, exactly. Absolutely everything, but health and safety, a whole skills across the whole of the board.
And this is one of the things I try to describe to young people when I try very hard to tell them not to go to university. is that being in the real world of work isn't how it used to be. It's not about working at something for 70 years and getting a clock and retiring. It doesn't exist like that anymore. When you enter the workforce now, you're going to be working on a variety of different things. I'm going to tell you a statistic, and this is nailed on. It's a nailed on statistic. 61% of students currently at school will do a job that doesn't currently exist. When they go into the world of work, the job that they do hasn't been invented yet. And they will go through this evolutionary process of once you start work, you experience stuff.
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed it, Jenny?
Oh, my God. The best experience I've ever done. And obviously, I compare myself to my friends where they have gone to uni. Yep. They've got their degree. They've been to uni for 3 years. And now they're coming out into the workspace. And they don't know where to start. They can't get anywhere.
I'll tell you where they're going to start.
Yeah.
Do you want fries with that?
Yeah. And that's the case that most of them end up in. Mm. And I think especially with Carl and Sonia, they've really developed my role. So again, it started off as business admin, then it went into sales support, and now I'm an accountant manager out on the road. It's an opportunity I would have never ever got if I went to university straight away.
Absolutely.
So I'm really, really thankful.
What I love as well is they've done what I've done actually at Rift, and I've taken my apprentices. This is the third. I've got two now, but I took one last year as well, but not down an accountancy route. I've taken them as business admin because what I want them to do is experience the workplace, understand what goes on in that building, because I can't have everybody wanting to be an accountant. But The one last year became a is now working on payroll. Yep. That's her specialism. These ones, we might have one that decides to go more down a business development route but have an understanding of accounts. We might have someone who does want to be an accountant or might want to do a bookkeeping role or something, again, completely different but within that remit. Mm. And I think we're too quick as well to funnel down this, you will be an accountant, you will be a solicitor, you will do this. And we've closed the doors again.
Especially now, because that way of being isn't relevant any longer. It hasn't been for a long time, actually. But more than ever now, with the Linkster generation.
You heard it here first.
Exactly. You made it up, didn't you? You invented it. The gig economy and everything is going to be the way that we work, without any shadow of a doubt. And this evolutionary process of just throwing yourself into the world of work and then following your nose, you can't do it any other way because life it just changes too quickly. And we just had a discussion just now about things like blockchain, the Internet of Things, augmented reality, virtual reality. All those things are going to have a massive impact. Nobody knows how they're going to impact. Nobody knows what kind of jobs they're going to engender in the next few years. So, absolutely. I'll tell you what, though, Jenny, what I want to come back to for our listeners, because I'm a customer of EcoSound, so I do know what you do.
Yes.
But a lot of our listeners won't know what you do. So why don't you just tell us what you actually do?
We're an independent washroom service company. So we do anything you find in a toilet, we can provide. So like sanitary bins.
Well, not everything you can find in a toilet you provide.
Oh, I think they'd have a go.
And we also do entrance matting as well. So we can do logo entrance matting. And we've got our own laundry based in Ashford. So obviously that makes it a lot cheaper for all of us.
Let's talk about entry matting, because it's a really interesting product, and you kind of skip through it. You ought to describe it, but I don't mind describing it because I know what it is as well.
Yeah. So entrance matting is matting that goes in the entrance and it takes up to 80% of the dirt walked into the building. It's just something that not many people think about, but every business can benefit from a logo entrance mat or a plain dust mat.
Absolutely.
Just because they're so, so effective. So it reduces slips, trips and falls. It also reduces your cleaning bills because they can focus on everywhere else. And where dirt is so abrasive, and obviously you've got so much dirt and water, especially this time of year, coming into the building, an entrance mat just works perfectly in any entrance, any sort of business.
Absolutely. So what you get at your front door, you get a mat with your logo on it, and you wipe your feet on it. And then once a week?
Every fortnight.
Every fortnight, EcoSound came along and replaced it with another clean mat and take it away and wash it.
And again, it's a laundry in Ashford, so it's not like we're shipping it across the country. All based in Ashford. We're based in Ashford and we cover the whole of Kent.
It's a really fabulous idea, isn't it?
I'm just loving Jenny's sales technique. I'm just in awe. I'm like, check you out with your pitch.
This is the business admin apprenticeship.
I love it. Seriously, Jenny, that was like, I see lots of people, I meet lots of business people, elevated business people. They don't pitch as well as you've just done then. So congratulations, seriously.
Have a good lead, Ash, on your
side. Amazing.
So EcoSound, who are based, three doors down from the studio?
Don't put in a travel claim.
No.
You provide washroom services and entrance mats, as you say, which is fantastic. How long has the firm been going?
So we've just celebrated our 10th anniversary, so fantastic. 10 years now. Yeah. And it's something that we've just recently introduced is now we recycle all the waste we collect.
Right, okay.
So before we were sending it to Waste to Energy, which is still better than landfill. But obviously Waste to Energy is kind of counterproductive because by the energy used to heat it up and break it down, it's kind of counterproductive. So now it gets fully recycled into compost. So that also makes us really price competitive as well because we're not sending it to landfill.
Sure, yeah, no, absolutely. So you kind of, this virtuous circle of everything that you're doing, which is really brilliant. Yeah. I love your enthusiasm, I really do. I really do love your enthusiasm.
To be honest, aren't we glad Sonia didn't come?
I was slightly worried. You know what Sonia's like as well, don't you? She would have only have tripped over and knocked the microphones over anyway.
Well, can you actually imagine Bird, me and Sonia in a studio?
No, I couldn't.
Can I just say,
that's why I had a headache to start with. I was getting it well established.
You're not grumpy anymore. See what we've done to you.
Yeah.
Sonia's messaged us on Facebook.
Okay, go on. Yeah.
She just said, loving the show. Okay. Love the pre-show show. Sorry we couldn't be there.
Yeah, so no, we do miss you, Sonia, but we understand that it's good news as well.
But you just said you're pleased she's not here.
Yeah.
Nice.
She'll take that in the spirit, it's men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but we're pleased she is where she is, that's why. Did I get out of that all right?
Not really.
Not really.
Cool. So, Jenny.
Can I just, if you must. I love you interviewing, but I just want to get into the nitty-gritty of it.
Yeah.
Jenny, when you meet young people...
Mm-hmm. Other young people.
Other young people, for me in business, and you ask them to do something and they don't want to do it because there has to be this transaction of time, money. Why did you make the decision of becoming an apprentice rather than literally going, actually, I want to go into money? Because I know you joked about a very well-known burger bar, but they do have a great scheme of managerial systems.
They do. Yeah.
So just tell me what your decision process was.
Yeah. So basically, I got all the grades to go into university, and it was a case of I wasn't quite sure of what I wanted to go into, so I didn't want to eliminate any options. So I contacted Canterbury College, which were really, really helpful, and I went in and had a chat with her, and then she gave me a few different options. And there was this one business admin apprentice at EcoSan. So I went in, had a chat, and after that I was set. I was like, I know I want to do an apprentice. It'll get my foot in the door, and it's the best decision I've ever made.
So it wasn't money-based. It wasn't, nope. Do you know what, I want to earn money. I'm nope, fed up with being a student.
All.
Interesting.
It wasn't the case.
We were talking about this the other day about uni. I mean, my daughter's in uni, and she turned down Oxford, which always makes me chuckle. But I just think she's also going to be coming out with 40 grand worth of debt, minimum. Mm-hmm. And I think, for me, how would I cope with that? Mm. But they don't allow them to view it like that.
No, I agree.
They reverse engineer it and don't get them to see, you are coming out with 40 grand of debt.
They don't realise. They just don't realise.
Because they're told it's not debt.
Yeah.
It is, my darlings. Yeah. So it's this, okay, how can I then take myself forward to be educated? But it doesn't necessarily have to be in that formal point. And some of the schools, 100% of our sixth form are going to uni. I don't think that's a trophy statement to say.
No. And like you, I've got children. My son's just taken a gap year. He's got a place next year. My daughter's in her third year at uni. But you look at it, and with my daughter, she's gone there because there's a reason she needs a degree. That's fine.
Same as me.
But my son, if I'm really honest, I'm quite happy he's having a gap year. Mm. Don't listen, Sam. You won't be listening anyway. But I am, because I want him to have that thought process.
To think about it, yeah.
Because I'm not convinced that is the right thing.
Yeah. And I think it gets drummed into kids for so long. Mm. University.
It has been the thing.
Yeah.
Driven by government from 30 years ago, when they started this stupid project of sending everyone to university for no particular reason. Mm. The fact is now, though, schools are very gradually coming round to the fact that you're better off doing an apprenticeship. Lifetime earnings of an apprentice are higher than a graduate now.
Yeah.
Of course, you can get a degree as an apprentice now.
Of course you can.
And the universities are starting to adapt to that. The University of Kent already has an apprenticeship school. Yeah, so that you can actually go to the University of Kent to finish off a 7-year apprenticeship, which will award you with a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can get a degree as an apprentice anyway. So you get paid to learn.
Yeah.
So, now, the fees for that are like...
It's meeting our current account, so I'm hoping to stay in this role for as long as possible. And there's visions in the future of maybe getting more account managers out on the road and then forming it into like team managers and getting groups out. We're at a really exciting time at EcoSan where we are growing and we are... building the business every single month.
But without being funny, EcoSan isn't a huge business, is it? It's a fairly small and medium-sized, it's an SME.
Yeah.
And already you've had these different experiences, which just shows you that it is viable to learn different things and do different things and grow your career.
And with a family business, you just feel so much more involved. You're not just another number on the
system.
It's
back to that localism thing, isn't it, that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, you do feel part of it. You don't feel just a cog in a massive wheel.
I would say in a lot of ways, a company the size of EcoSan, what have you got, about 16, 20 people?
Yeah.
That would be a perfect size for an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
And too many people, especially very small businesses, and I will get on my soapbox here, seem to think that's a way to expand when there's a one-man band, two-man band, and an apprentice. Without being funny and rude or anything to Jenny or any other apprentice, they're hard work to start with. It's a lot of learning.
Yeah.
You've got to release them to college.
Yeah.
All these things. It's not the perfect solution for very small businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you need a certain number of staff, a vision, a growth strategy.
And you've got to occupy their day at the end of the day.
You have.
Stuff for them to do.
There was a thought early on in the apprenticeship thing, when you look at the minimum wage for an apprentice, which is laughable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a laughable amount of money. But some businesses thought it was a way of getting cheap staff in. Mm. The fact is that most young people aren't stupid.
No.
And they wouldn't take the job at that level.
No.
In Kent at the moment, I happen to know because I advertise 400 of them a month, the average starting wage, if you actually want to hire an apprentice, a young under 18 apprentice, is more like £180 to £200 a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's reasonable. And that's how it should be. It shouldn't be just child labour.
Absolutely.
It's wrong. But the other thing I would say is, having just taken two myself, the selection pool is so small still because you're fighting to find those good people for the very reason there's just not enough young people, not enough linksters putting themselves forward to be apprentices.
We advertise about 400 apprenticeships a month on Jobs in Kent, and less than 10% of them get applications.
No way.
People just don't apply for them.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I was speaking at Street Soccer Foundation yesterday with Keith Mabbott, and there was a room of 16 young, amazing people who haven't had the greatest start in life, so homeless or really unfortunate circumstances. Do you know what? I spoke for an hour and 10 minutes, listen to his voice, and they were engaged. Mm. Now, I couldn't have asked for more willingness, and they were like, Bird, what can I do? Do you know what? I had 7 messages last night, all on Facebook from them saying, thank you so much, can you believe this? Mm. And what can I do to build my dream? How can I? That's what we need to be doing, is nurturing people and going, okay,
absolutely.
How do you know? We need to get Keith in again and talk about this Street Soccer and the apprenticeship scheme.
I'm going to get on another side, but this is so obvious, but it's just not been happening. The problem in the past has been that everything's driven top down.
Yeah.
So, you know, the government come up with a scheme and they tell you who tells them, who tells them, who tells you, who tells them, and they monitor it. The reason that young people haven't been engaged in the workforce is because employers and young people haven't been talking to each other.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that, because there are too many intermediaries in the way telling you how you're going to organise all of this. We don't need any of that.
No.
We need them to get out of the way and just let businesses talk to young people. And it is a two-way street. When we do the 30-30 programme with the FSB, which is a free programme we take to schools, I tell people it's a two-way street. Yes, employers are going to tell young people what they want from them in the world of work, but young people are going to tell employers why they would or wouldn't work for them. It is a two-way street, and you've got to figure that. We are lucky. We have one of the lowest unemployment levels in the whole of Europe these days. We're on course to create another 1.2 million jobs over the next 18 months. We have no one to fill them. Youth unemployment is still way too high. It's about 11.8% at the moment, which is the lowest in Europe by a long way. At least we haven't got 54% as they do have in some parts of southern Europe, but it's still way too high. And there are lots of jobs for young people. And at long last, employers are very interested in employing linksters.
Lucky me.
Jenny, thank you so much for joining us. I love your enthusiasm. I love what you do. I am a customer of EcoSan, so I know about their products and services and how good they are. Give us a shout out for EcoSan.
So you can find us on our website, which is ecosanservices.co.uk, or Twitter at ecosanservices.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Jenny, thank you so much for that. It's really brilliant. And it was very last minute that Jenny knew she was coming.
I'm not being funny. I think it was in a meeting and I knew this morning that Sonia couldn't make it, and she said, I'll send Jenny. But poor Jenny wouldn't have known that at 7:30 this morning when Sonia and I started emailing. And I think I spoke to you about 11:30, didn't I? I said, don't worry, we'll look after you.
You need to go into a pitch competition, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm not standing up against her, are you?
No. No. Here,
and she was here before you.
Well, everyone always is.
Yeah, absolutely. That is true.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.